Good morning, everyone. My name is Joel. I'm the assistant minister. Good to see some new faces, but also good to see some old faces back again. I'm going to read the second passage, and we're going to look at it later. So the second Bible passage for today is Matthew chapter 25, 14 to 31. It's on page number 995 in the church Bibles. Again, it's like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit and with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who had 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Let me pray before we look in the Bible passage. Father God, we thank you for your word, and thank you that you have given it in a language that we can understand. We pray as we listen to your word that we will not harden our hearts. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know whether it's just me, or maybe some of you have experienced this too. Or when you attend a funeral, people may say something like, I'm going to terribly miss him, but at least I'm glad he lived a good life. Then you start to wonder, what do they mean when they say he lived a good life? In a secular world, this may mean he was successful, measured by his status, accomplishments, or prestige. A good life may be living a wealthy life. It may mean he drove a sports car, he lived in a million-pound house in a posh location. In a big affluent city like London, success can be summarized by the phrase, "He who dies with the most toys wins." Not that fame or material success is bad, but if all that the person has done is to accumulate toys, had he lived a good life? Those who are followers of Christ ought to have a different perspective. A believer wants to live a life that has eternal significance for God. And at the end of your life, God isn't going to count how many toys you had. how much wealth he had. But he would require you to be faithfully serving him. Then you will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," from Jesus when he returns. That is how Jesus defines a good life. This phrase, "good and faithful servant," occurs in today's Bible passage. So if you have your Bibles, keep it open. We're going to look at that passage. It is from Jesus' parable of the talents, recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. This parable will be the focus for today morning. So we are in the book of Matthew, like I mentioned. From chapter 24 onwards, Jesus has started to teach his followers about Jesus' return. And today's parable addresses the question, what Christians should be doing as they wait for the return of Jesus. I think Jesus teaches two things to all those who call themselves as his followers. So firstly, it'll come up on the screen, everyone should be actively serving Jesus. And secondly, no one should be lazy, wicked servant. So this talk is mainly addressed to those who call themselves Christians. But if you're not a Christian, you can listen in. And at the end, I will address how this may be relevant to you as well. So firstly, everyone should be actively serving Jesus. So if you look down at verse 14, it says, "Again, it," so that "it" refers to the kingdom of God. And in the book of Matthew, Jesus is shown as someone who is God's appointed king, who helps us understand God's kingdom and how it functions. So Jesus used stories called parables to teach about the kingdom of God. In the Bible passage, Jesus says, "Kingdom of God will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them." So man is going on a journey before he leaves. So he is entrusting, if you look at down at the Bible passage, his wealth to them. So the his wealth refers that the wealth belonged to the master and it doesn't belong to the servants. So the servants are expected to be wise stewards of master's wealth. So the Greek word for the wealth, it means a measure of weight. That's why I think they have translated it, if you look down, as bags of gold. So the gold, in the Greek, gold can be measured as 200 pounds of gold. That is equivalent to 20 years of wages for a worker. And it's the largest unit of monetary value during the biblical times. So one man getting one bag of gold would be equivalent to 20 years of salary. And another servant getting two bags of gold would be equivalent to 40 years of salary. And another man getting five bags of gold would be equivalent to modern-day London 100 years of salary. So every servant is entrusted with a big amount of master's resource, even though there was different talents given to each servant. So note the phrase, "to each according to his ability." The master knows that not all servants have the same ability to handle the large sum of money. So he doesn't overwhelm the servants with responsibilities beyond his level of skill or capability. How are the servants going to respond? Firstly, we will look at the two servants who faithfully serve the master. These are the good examples that Jesus gives, so his followers can know how they can respond before he returns. So if you look at verse 16, "He who had received the five talents went at once and traded with them, and he made five talents more." And verse 17, so also the he, so verse 17, so he, who, so also the one with two bags of gold gained two more. So the first servant went eagerly and put master's wealth to work and doubled the money. And the second did similarly and doubled the master's wealth. And then later on we see, after a long, long time, the master comes back. In verse 19, we see the master is coming back. And in verse 20 to 23, we see the first two servants have come and they are settling accounts with their master. And in verse 20, we see the first servant says, "The man who had received five bags of gold brought the other five, and he said, 'Master,' he said, 'you entrusted me with five bags of gold. See, I've gained five more.'" And then in verse 22, we see the other servant, with the two bags of gold. He says the same thing. He says, "You entrusted me with two bags of gold. See, I have gained two more." And what does the master do? He commends both of them, and he commends them just the same way. So let us look at who are the characters in this parable. So the man who was going on a journey in this parable was Jesus. Jesus was about to be crucified and then rise up, and he's going to go back to heaven. And he wants his disciples to understand that he is going to come back during the last days. So he's the one who is going on a journey. And the servants were Jesus' followers, Christians like us. And what are the talents Jesus has given us? And the Bible teaches that all the spiritual and physical resources we get to enjoy come as a gift from God. So God has given us physical health, ability to imagine, think, talk, and do things. He has given peaceful country to live in, friends, relatives. Some of you enjoy single life, others married life, jobs, time to relax, resources like money, job, car, television, laptops, mobile phones. He has given us spiritual resources like the body of believers to do gospel work. He has entrusted with the gospel message of Jesus. He has given spiritual gifts to edify other believers. And how does giving an account of what he has done with all the resources Jesus has given us look like in this passage? So just to understand, let me give you an illustration. Of a couple of weeks ago, I took my son for a swimming lesson at the leisure center. My son went for his lesson and I was sitting in the lobby. In the table next to me was a fitness instructor doing a Zoom call with one of his clients. I think the client has uploaded all that he had eaten in the past week for the fitness instructor to review it. And the fitness instructor was saying something like, "Last Tuesday for breakfast you're supposed to eat one cup of porridge. You have ended up eating two. Lunch looks okay. Then for snacks you allowed only one digestive biscuit, but you ended up eating four chocolate biscuits. What's happening here? Have you done a good job of keeping yourself fit this week?" I was sitting there and thinking, the fitness coach is kind of going into a lot of details in here. And how does it contrast with Jesus in this passage? Jesus is God, and so obviously he knows every imagination and thought and words and actions. But he wasn't going into details when he dealt with these two servants. In our passage, when the servants came and gave an account saying, "Oh, I had five talents and this is all I could do, Jesus." And he didn't say, "Hang on a minute. So you became a Christian 50 years ago. I'm coming back after a long, long time. And this is all you could do with all the resources I gave?" I disagree with that. Let's start with the first day you became a Christian. I have a record of all your imaginations and thinking and action. Do you think you could have done a better job that day?" Jesus didn't treat these servants like that. At least for me, Jesus being very gentle and generous with these two servants. Jesus is so glad to hear that these two servants were happy to serve him in his absence. All he says is, "Wow, well done, good and faithful servants. You've been faithful with a few things. I'm so happy. I'm going to put you in charge of many." And the other thing we can note is that Jesus is rewarding their faithfulness in serving Jesus. To both these servants, the master's response were word for word identical. So if you can see verse 21 and 23, the master says just the same thing. He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Even though the first servant has earned more, see, he has earned 5 bags of gold, whereas the second one managed only 2 bags of gold. From this we can summarize that Jesus is concerned more with the effort and the faithfulness that of his servants, and he's less concerned about the bags of gold. In this world, our ability and capacity to serve Jesus varies from one believer to the other. Say, for instance, our capacity to serve Jesus at Dagenham Parish Church looks different. A couple of us work full-time as church staff, but majority of you serve voluntarily in different capacities. At Christian homes, husbands, wives would have different amount of time to serve Jesus by raising their children in a godly way. Maybe some of you may only have time to read a Bible story and pray with your children once a week. But that's fine, Jesus understands. If you're faithfully seeking to do serving him in whatever capacity he's allowing you to, Jesus would be glad that you're proactively using all he has given you to serve him. When Jesus returns, he would say, "Yeah, well done, Shadrach. You have been a very good and faithful servant." Or, "Well done, Rosemary. You have been a very good and faithful servant." So we see in this parable, Jesus is so glad to see two of his servants willing to serve him in his absence. But the other thing we understand is that as Christians, we also need to learn to enjoy serving Jesus even before he returns. Because in this parable, when Jesus returns, he's not saying to these two servants, "Oh, Janet and Jack, I see you worked very hard in my absence. What I'm going to do is let me give you a generous pension pot and make sure you never get to work for me anymore." No, that's not what Jesus says to both of these good servants. If you look down and see in verse 21 and 23, he's saying, "You've been faithful with a few things. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you more work. I'm going to put you in charge of many things." How does that make you feel if you're a Christian and you've been a faithful servant of Jesus for many decades? You know that being a Christian is very hard. You know, being a Christian is tiring. It is difficult. It is costly. Maybe you feel like you are under attack. Maybe you feel wounded. You're licking your wounds. And you're slowly recovering. But you would always have been busy serving Jesus and in whatever way possible. So I assume Jesus' return and the thought of carrying out more responsibilities for Jesus would only excite you as a true follower of Jesus. So firstly, everyone should be actively serving Jesus. And secondly, what we see in this passage is no one should be a wicked, lazy servant, or no one should be a wicked, lazy Christian. So we looked at two of the servants in this parable, but there is also a third servant. So if you look down at verse 18, it says there was a man or a servant who had received 1 bag before the master went off, and all he did was he dug a hole in the ground and he hid his master's money. And what he did in the absence of his master's was that all he did was he did nothing. And then the master comes back after a long, long time and wanted to settle account with this servant as well. And then you see in verse 24, then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came, and he said, "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seeds. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. So he's saying he was very afraid. He understands the master is a really harsh master, and you are scared of what he will do. But then the servant was completely wrong. That's the first thing we need to understand about the assessment of his master. The master was generous with his resources, with the servant for many years. The servant was given full freedom, and the master has fully trusted him with all the resources that he gave. And now the servant wrongly accused the master. So, yeah, it's a bit like with any authority you have. Maybe in school, the teacher gives all the students a different max problem to solve, and the teacher says, "I'm going to go out for 45 minutes, come back, and I'm going to look who all did the max questions." And the teacher says, if you don't know and you're stuck, you could check with your friends if they are finished earlier. And all the students except one quickly do their max question, and they finish it in 15 minutes. But then one guy, he takes the max problem, he puts it in his pocket and goes to sleep. After 45 minutes, the teacher comes and asks, "Did you do the max problem?" He says, "No, I didn't." "And why didn't you do it?" He says, "No, I didn't do it because I was afraid if I do it wrong, you're going to punish me or something. But then at least you could have asked someone else for some help." That's what Jesus is saying is, yeah, I understand. You feel like I'm really a harsh master, isn't it? That's fine. But he says he's not trying to justify him. What are you saying? "But then you have an account in Barclays Bank. At least you could have put the money in the bank. They might have got some interest. It's a zero-risk policy. Why didn't you do that?" By saying this, the master has shown that the servant had no desire to work for this master. And the top of it, the servant had the audacity to tell the master, "It is your fault." So whenever someone is in authority and you're trying to do it, even in school when the teacher, you're saying something like, "Oh, you're a harsh person, that's why I don't want to do this." What you're doing is you're trying to say to them, "What can you do to me? I oppose your authority." And that's what the servant is doing to Jesus. By not doing anything with the resources the master has given to serve him, he's trying to challenge the authority of Jesus and try to oppose him. Sometimes Christians can get into that mentality. Yeah, I know what I should do in my family life. Yeah, I know what I need to do in the work life to serve Jesus. I know how to conduct myself in church life. I know what sites to avoid when using my mobile phones. I have good understanding of how to serve Jesus. But I'm not going to do it. I'll just do the opposite. I know Jesus will come back, but let's see what he can do. If I choose to be lazy, if I choose to be wicked, who can question me? And that's not a good mindset to have. Thank God that Jesus warns us through these Bible passages like this. We get opportunities to learn and to repent. It's better early than before we meet Jesus, to repent and be a good servant. For in this passage, Jesus shows that he has the power to act. So we see in verse 30 what he does to this wicked servant. And he says, "Throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So the more, yeah, that I might have given a picture of this servant is just lazy, but he's also wicked because he's challenging the challenging the master's authority, but also if you could look in this Bible passage, this servant has taken these resources from the master and he's choosing not to do it. That's what a lot of Christians do as well. We take responsibilities in the society or even within the church as a pastor or as a bishop, but then we choose to do things which Jesus doesn't want us to do. That is not a good thing. And Jesus says here that in this world it might look like we are hanging around as Christians with a lot of resources and influence and power. But Jesus says when he comes back, he will strip these people off their responsibilities. For he says in verse 29, verse 28, to take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. And whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. So may God help us all as Christians to be found faithfully serving him till Jesus returns. May we not be like the lazy, wicked servant. And if you are not a Christian, this Bible passage would urge you to assess your views about Jesus. Jesus isn't just a man who lived and died in the first century. Jesus is not just a Bible teacher or a prophet. Jesus in the Bible is someone who will return from the clouds to judge every human living and the dead. To live a good life, we need to face this Jesus from the Bible and come to terms with him. Let me pray as we finish. Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Father, we pray that you would help us all to be a good servant who will hear from you. Well done, good and faithful servants. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.